Welcome to The Word is the Way to Life, and also the Pastor's Thoughts. You know, the Word, Jesus, manifested in the flesh, and He dwelt among us, and He showed us the way to have life and have it more abundantly. So that's why we come together and try to encourage one another in the faith, because life is tough, but the end result is such a blessing as we hang on to the blessed hope that we have in Christ. You know, we have been doing a journey through the Psalms from Psalm 51 through 100. And this week, we're up to Psalm 75. Now, I want to share with you Psalm 75, but before I do that, it says at the beginning, for the choir director, there's directions. And the directions is that there is a tune to be sung that it's entitled, Do Not Destroy. Now, I don't know if I know that song, but that's the direction to the choir director to sing a song that says, Do Not Destroy. So, I digress. Hear God's Word, Psalm 75, verses 1 through 10. We thank You, O God. We give thanks because You are near. People everywhere tell of Your mighty miracles. God says, At the time I have planned, I will bring justice against the wicked. When the earth quakes and its people live in turmoil, I am the one who keeps its foundation firm. I warned the proud, Stop your boasting. I told the wicked, Don't raise your fist. Don't lift your fists in defiance at the heavens or speak with rebellion arrogance. For no one on earth, from east or west, or even the wilderness, can raise another person up. It is God alone who judges. He decides who will rise and who will fall. For the Lord holds a cup in His hand, and it's full of foaming wine mixed with spices. He pours the wine out in judgment, and all the wicked must drink it, draining it to the dregs. But as for me, I will always proclaim what God has done. I will sing praises to the God of Israel. For God said, I will cut off the strength of the wicked, but I will increase the power of the godly. May God add His blessings in hearing and reading of Psalm 75. There's a lot to think about in life. And I want to say, especially in everyday life, because every day we and I make choices that can have a good life for us or not so good. But, you know, I love the buts and the ifs. But as we get older, I think about death. I think all of us do. I wonder how long that I'll be here. How long do I have? I just had a birthday a week or so ago, and I turned 81. Never dreamed I'd get to be 81. So I don't know what lies ahead, but life has been good to me. God has blessed me, even with all my challenges and ups and downs, and I think most of us can relate to that. So I think more about death in the latter years of my life than I have in the early days of my life. But now I try to eat healthier and exercise a little bit, hopefully every day. I'm not good at it. We got one of those Lips machine, and I can try to do 3-4 miles a day on that thing. And I must admit it helps, but I don't have the discipline to do it. But I believe most people are like me. Most days, I forget to give much thought to what comes next. Similar to what it says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. People are destined to die once, and after that, they face judgment. I recite that scripture a lot, because that's just really where the rubber hits the road. First comes death, and then judgment. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. But not all of us will get chastised, some of us maybe a little bit, but the ones who didn't, well, I don't want to face the judgment without knowing the Savior, the Lord Jesus. So I hope and pray you do too. Anyhow, Psalm 74 poses that question. How long will the enemy mock you, God? In verse 10. And then Psalm 75 also gives the answer in verse 2. I will choose the appointed time. It is I who judge with equity, the Lord says. One day, the mockery of the wicked will be silenced. So the psalmist opens in praise of God, who is near to his people. However, the chief cause for praise is that God has chosen the appointed time to judge the wicked with equity. The Apostle Paul echoed these thoughts when he announced to the people in Athens that God has set a day when he will judge the world with justice, Acts chapter 17, verse 31. Evil injustice are not meant to be normal, but we have a lot of evil in the world around us, and it makes you wonder. But evil and injustice are not meant to be normal. You know, when God created the heavens and the earth, he didn't create evil. It kind of crept in, you know, back with our early ancestors when the old serpent messed with them. But I digress. A world full of wickedness without justice and punishment is likely a machine that isn't working properly. One day, God will fix this. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. My favorite scripture in the Bible, the very last verse in the book of Revelation. Because his judgment will make things right and put things back on a firm foundation, as it says in verse 3 of Psalm 75. So the psalmist describes the wicked as arrogant, almost defying God to judge them. He describes God's wrath as a cup full of foaming anger about to be poured out on the ungodly. I think this is a common biblical metaphor for God's judgment. Jeremiah and Nahum talked about it also. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did Jesus pray? That God would take this cup away from him. Matthew chapter 26, verse 42. So this was the cup of God's wrath for our sin that Jesus knew that he'd have to bear on the cross. And Jesus drank this cup so that we who've trusted in him will never face God's wrath. Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus. But for those who have not trusted in Christ or on God's appointed day, they will drink the wine of God's glory, which had been poured out full strength into the cup of wrath. Revelation chapter 14, verse 10. A woman at our church once confessed to me that she was scared of judgment. And I think I would be too, but I assured her that if she just trusted in Christ, then she had nothing to fear. For the believer, Judgment Day is a day that will mark out our passing from this fallen world into bliss and joy of eternal life in God's presence. You know, we go from life to life. We don't go from life to death. Oh, we might pass through there a little bit, but we end up with eternal life in God's presence because Jesus paid the price for our sins, and we then stand before God, whole and grace and loving and compassion and all the things that sometimes we think we've fallen short. But when we accept Christ into our life, he cleanses from all unrighteousness. Praise be to God. So I think Psalm 75 is a song of praise. A praise of God's wrath. Oh, how might it strengthen the church if the church sings more songs about Judgment Day? Look at Revelation chapter 11, verses 16 through 18, and chapter 12, verses 10 through 12, and Revelation chapter 18, verses 1 through 24. The question for all of us is this: how important is it to warn people about the coming judgment in our evangelism when we give our own personal testimony? You know, we need not to stick our head in the sand and try to sweet-talk the gospel. No, people need to hear the true gospel. And then they also need to hear the antidote. God manifested in the flesh who come to take the sins of the world to the cross of Calvary. You know, when Jesus said, "Oh my God, why have thou forsaken me?" My interpretation, Ralphie's interpretation, I think he felt for that brief moment separation from the Father, because he has always been there. And you say, well, why did he feel it? Because he had the sins of the world on his shoulder as he hung on the cross at Calvary. And when he gave up the ghost and he shed his blood, you know, there had to be shedding of blood for the forgiveness of sin. And Jesus was the perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sin. So when he gave up the ghost, the perfect sacrifice was made. And then the veil in the temple rent in two, giving us direct access to the Father through Jesus. Wow, I could go on. But it's a wonderful thing to know that we will face judgment seat, but we won't be judged if we trust and obey, for there's no other way but in Christ Jesus. Thanks for tuning in. Pray you have a good day.